Okay, so as I said when we just started with Chavrusa time, I had prepared this year a few months ago, I guess at this point, when we were still all just beginning to be worried about what coronavirus would look like before we actually knew what it looked like. I was prepared to give shiur, and that was the week that we all shut down. So. And I'd been thinking about it because one of my friends had emailed me, had WhatsApp me, and he said, "Are you t saying Slichot on Tanit Esther for the coronavirus? Because there is this minhag, there's this halacha of davening for when there's a epidemic, and there's even a unique." Slicha, which is said on a Tanit, especially on Tanit Esther, there's a special paragraph in it specifically on Tanit Esther. So it got me thinking, because so I listened to a shiur while I was driving to Modi'in, where someone said, "Well, it's not dever. This doesn't count as dever, and therefore it may be bad, but it's not dever." But as it turns out, the Gemara was very aware that there are different types of diseases, and there are different ways of reacting to them. So that, what I want to do is try to explore a little bit what the Gemara thinks about it, both in terms of tefillah, and if we have time, we'll look at Rav Asher Weiss's tshuva, which summarize a lot of the other perspectives that the Gemara has. So I'll share my screen and let's go through these sources. Okay, so the primary way I think that in much of the sources we find that you should deal with sickness is, of course, everything misspelled, is tefillah. So just a little bit of background here on tefillah to get our heads into it. So there's a fundamental machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban as to whether there is a mitzvah of daily tefillah. The Rambam writes that there is a mitzvah chamishiru shetzivanu le'avdo yitaleh u'kvar nichvel. There's a biblical commandment to daven, to pray, and if you skip to source two, the Rambam clarifies that mitzvah aseh le'itpalel b'chol yom sh'ne'amar v'avata m'Hashem Elokeicha. That mitzvah is daily, and we get it from the fact that Chazal understand when the Torah says serve God, it means prayer. And Amru, but he notes that the ain minyan atfilot minat Torah, the ain mishneh atfilah azot minat Torah, the ain letfilos man kavua minat Torah. How you say it, when you say it, how much you say, that's not biblical, but the notion of davening at least once a day is biblical. The Ramban disagrees. And the Ramban says, Shikvar beru chachamim b'gemara tefillah derabbanan. Prayer is rabbinic. And then he says, okay, well then what is the value of it halachically? So he said two possibilities. Either, elavada kol yon tefillah ino chova klal aval humidat chesed abore yitbarach aleinu. Possibility one is that there is no obligation to pray. The fact that we can turn to God in prayer is a privilege, that God has kindness on us. And therefore, the pasuk, ul avdo, that you should serve him, meaning tefillah, is just an asmachta. It's just a hint in the pasuk, but it's not really what the Torah means. Possibility two, that he says, is that maybe there's a mitzvah, a kol tzara v'tzara shetavol ha'tzibor lezok lefanav v'tfila v'tshuva, that there is a unique obligation to daven, specifically in a time of distress. So we have the Rambam who says there's a mitzvah always to daven daily. The Ramban who says either there's never a mitzvah to daven, it's only a privilege, or there's a mitzvah to daven during times of distress. Now, the Rav, Rav Soloveitchik, used to suggest that, and I gave you a summary here, that perhaps the Rambam and the Ramban fundamentally agree that The mitzvah of davening is about davening be'etzara, when there's distress. What do they argue about? So this is very Rabbi Soloveitchik. They argue about how do you define distress? Is distress only like the unique once in a while thing that shakes us out of the norm? Or is it even the inherent existential distress of that is inherent in the fragility of life? The Rambam thinks that it's that, and therefore it's always obligatory to daven, even when you don't think you're in danger, you really are. I mean, there's always a problem. There's always something to daven for, even if you're not really thinking about it. That's your problem, that you think that you're so comfortable that you don't need to daven for anything. But if you really thought about it, you'd realize it. Every human being always has needs, and life is precarious, and you never know what's going to happen. And the Ramban thinks that you only daven when there's a once-in-a-while distress. When I give shir just on tefillah, I note that there's two basic ways to think about tefillah. One is to focus on the content of prayer, right? To say that fundamentally the real purpose of tefillah is to convey a certain whatever to God, is to talk to God, content. The other is to focus not on the content of what you say, but on the fact that you are interacting with God, interfacing with God, period. And the fact that you say something, that's just the what you do when we're talking about tefillah in general. We'll get back to the tzibur point in just a second. The Rav very clearly thinks that the focus of tefillah, according to everybody, is content. Right? The only question is what content? According to him, the Rambam thinks it's the struggles of everyday life, and the Ramban thinks it's the struggle of the unique struggles in times of distress, but not like the daily precariousness of life. I've noted in the past that Reb Chaim, the Rav's grandfather, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, seems to actually say the opposite. Because he argues that even according to, that there's, without getting to the whole piece, but basically says there's two types of kavana in tefillah. There's perush hamilim, there's understanding what you say, and that type of kavana you only need post facto in the first bracha of Shmona Esrei. And then there's the cognizance that you're in front of God, and he thinks that that's so definitional to tefillah that if you for a moment forget that you're in front of God, your whole tefillah is meaningless. Which shows that the Rav's grandfather, Reb Chaim, seems to think that the definition of tefillah is not content, but simply relationship, right? Because he thinks that's what defines tefillah. And I've suggested that perhaps really the machloket between the Rambam and the Ramban is actually this point, that the Rambam, who says you daven every day, maybe the Rav is not correct. Maybe the reason he wants you to daven every day is because it's important to maintain a relationship, right? Even if you, so to speak, have nothing to say, you should say something. And the Ramban thinks the purpose of tefillah is to ask for things. Okay, that's sort of the background. Now, Jamie is right that technically the Ramban is more limited. The Ramban doesn't even say that there is a mitzvah to daven when you're in distress. He seems to think that if there's a mitzvah of tefillah, it is to daven specifically when the community is in distress, that creates a unique obligation. And as it turns out, the Rambam agrees, even though he thinks there's a mitzvah to daven every day, he does think that there is a unique mitzvah to daven when there is a tzara for the tzibur, that when the community is in distress, there's a unique obligation. If you look at the Rambam in Hilchot Ta'anit, in source 5, he says, mitzvah asay achat, vihiliz ok lifnei Hashem, b'chol eit tzara gedola shelo tavo latzibur. There is a special mitzvah to daven, to scream out to God, when the community has a distress. And the Rambam notes, if you read the halacha, mitzvah asay min ha-Torah, liz ok lahariya b'chatzotzrot, al kol tzara shetavo latzibur. There's a mitzvah to daven, to blow the shofar, etc., for everything that might happen to the community. Like famine or plague or locusts, etc. And then Halacha Bet says, "V'davarze midarkei atshuvahu." This is a function of repentance. Shebizman shetavot serav yezaku alav yariu yedu hakol shebeglam hazemarim oralan kakatuv avonotechem yitu v'gomer. Because we believe that deep down, again, even if you don't pinpoint, and even if you don't have the arrogance, which, you know, as my Rebbeim always said, right, you don't try to figure out exactly why God punished you and, you know, claim to understand what God said. But the notion that when something bad happens, you do tshuva because of a deep belief that in the, you know, everything in some sense is controlled by Schar V'Onesh, or at least much of the world is controlled by Schar V'Onesh, is a consequence of actions. So this is a function of tshuva. Now, it could be that you could say that, look, the Ramban and the Rambam really agree. The Ramban thinks that there's a mitzvah to daven when the community is in trouble, and the Rambam agrees. The Rambam just has an extra mitzvah to daven every day. But I was listening to a shir maybe 2 weeks ago by Rav Moshe Lichtenstein, who suggested that if you're actually careful, you'll see that the Rambam and the Ramban don't agree conceptually about this as either. Meaning they both agree that there is a mitzvah to daven when there is a communal trouble. But if you're careful, the Ramban thinks that it's a function of tefillah. The Rambam thinks that tefillah isn't the main point. Tefillah is just a means to tshuva. And therefore, as it turns out, even within this obligation to daven when there is a trouble that hits the community, the Ramban conceptualizes it as an obligation to pray, and the Rambam conceptualizes it as an obligation to repent. I'll be honest, as a sidebar here, I was quite struck by a powerful comment. Rabbi Shaul Robinson, who's the rabbi at Lincoln Square Synagogue on the Upper West Side, he posted on Facebook, and then he sent an email out to the rabbinic listserv of rabbinic alumni from Yeshivat Har Tzion, and he said it was a request. He said, you know, Americans, every time there's any problem in Israel, they hold Tehillim rallies. You know, suddenly everybody gets together and davens, Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael, right? If there's a war, if there's terrorism, if there's, you name it, and Jews in Chutz La'aretz jump to daven on behalf of people in Eretz Yisrael. But he said, you know, Israelis, we're not used to being the ones that are in a better situation. And he requested, because he thinks that, and I think he's right, that Israeli Jews sort of forgot that sometimes we're in a much better situation, like now where life is returning to normal, and we can actually daven in with a minyan again, if not in shul, outside of shul. He requested that we start davening or saying Tehillim for American Jewry who can't even go to shul to daven for themselves. Bitzibur, and there were a lot of rabbis, I said, who said, you know, as soon as you sent that email, we started, because you're right, right? We all responsible for each other. We're just not used to being the ones who have to daven for everybody else. We're used to the being the ones who have other people davening for us. And I think he's right, right? I think that one of the fundamental obligations here is to daven for ourselves and for the community. And especially as things get better, we have to remember that we're part of a broader community and daven for everybody. Either, as the Ramban puts it, midarkei hatfilah, or as the Rambam puts it, midarkei hatshuva. But I think it's important to realize that one of the fundamental responses that halacha mandates to mass distress of any kind is prayer. Prayer is repentance, but it's some form of communication with God. Obviously, in addition to everything else you need to do, and that's what I gave you if we get to it, Rav Asher Weiss's tshuva. that, right, in addition, maybe I'll pull this up for a second, but Chazal have another key advice. What's Chazal's, if I asked you, what is the number one responsibility you have during a pandemic? What would you say? What have we learned here in Israel, especially? What is your number one obligation during a pandemic? Yeah, good. How does that play itself out? Pikuach nefesh? Yes, but specifically, what did they say? Even more basic. So look, I pulled it up. You can see the tshuva now. Yeah. So just look at this Gemara in Bava Kamma. Tana Rabbanan, dever ba'ir. If there is an epidemic in the city, kanes raglecha. So pull your feet in. Meaning, shneamar va'atem lo tetzu ish mipetach beito ad boker. Don't leave your house until morning. Meaning, Chazal told you 2,000 years ago, if there's an epidemic, go home and stay there. That is what you do. Omer leicha mi, bo v'chadarecha, go into your room, uskor delatecha ba'adecha, and close your doors. Va'omer michutz tishak al cherev u'michadarim eima, and say, outside the sword is killing, but you stay inside. Right? You stay inside. Right? This is Chazal's fundamental obligation. Epidemic, stay home. Right? Mai va'omer v'chitei mahanei mili b'lelia. You might have thought that's only at night, but you could still go to work. Aval biyamam alod, not during the day, right? Meaning don't go out extra, but go out for basic needs. Tashma, leich ami, bo chadarecha skorat alatecha. No. It says it twice. Go home, close your doors, shut the doors, and stay there. V'chi teima hani miyecha deleka eima migavoy, aval hechad ika eima migavoy. Ki nafek, yatev b'nei, inshe b'tzavta, ba'al matvei malei. So you might have thought that's maybe only if there isn't also fear inside. Maybe if there's fear inside, it's better to get out a little bit. He says, no, Tashma, michutz l'shag al cherem. It's bad out there, right? Af al gav d'chadarim eima, even if it's scary inside, michutz l'shag al cherem, it's worse out there. Don't go out there. Right, Tana Rabbanan, dever ba'ir, if there is a plague, Al yahalech adam b'emtzah derech. Don't travel on the paths. Mipnei shamalach hamavet mahalach b'emtzah drachim, because the malach hamavet is in the middle of paths. V'kevan diyaveh le'reshutav mazgi lehedya. Once he's destroying, he'll destroy everything, etc. And then Tana Rabbanan dever ba'ir. Al yikanet adam yachid le'kneset. Don't go into shul right by yourself. I mean, Chazal already knew. Right, and this is what Rav Asher says. Hare lanu shechazal lamdu min ha-mikro beruach kacham ma'asher rofim yodim bezmaneinu. What doctors said, Chazal already knew. Shebishat chash magefa. When there's an epidemic, tov shiistager kol echad b'beito v'imna kachol avshar mechevratam tu b'nei adam. Avoid people and go inside. Right, this is not new. Right, everyone knew this. Chazal told it to us a long time ago. That's your number one obligation. But in addition to that, you also have to recognize, you have to turn to God and recognize that we have a responsibility to acknowledge that God has the, in the end of the day, is capable of changing things, and we need to express that emunah through tefillah. And Chazal very specifically understood that one of those moments of distress is dever, is illness. So what I want to do is try to define illness and try to understand exactly how Chazal thought about it and what they thought you should do to try to, because as you already see in the Gemara we just read, Chazal were quite aware of epidemics, right? It's one of those things we're sort of spoiled by the modern world that we don't have this. Thank God this is, blessedly rare. But it, this was something the world faced regularly. And therefore Chazal actually have insight in how we're supposed to deal with it. Not like in the theoretical, but in the very, very real. So if you look at the Mishnah in number 6, the Mishnah tells you that there are many types of communal distress for which you daven and fast and blow the shofar, etc. So the Mishnah says, V'chein ir, sheyesh ba'dever o mapolet. If it has a plague of sorts or falling buildings, So that city should fast and blow the shofar, and the cities that aren't immediately affected from it, they should fast, but they don't have to blow the shofar. Rabbi Kiva Omer Matriya Velo Mitanot. And Rabbi Kiva says, blow the shofar, but don't fast. And Ezehu Dever, what is this Dever that requires this public fasting and this public tshuva and shofar blowing, etc.? Ir Hamotzia Chamesh Meot Ragli, Vyatsumi Mena Shlosha Meitim, Bishlosha Yamim Zachar Zareze Dever. Pachot Mikan Ein Zedever. In a city of 500, if three people die per day for three consecutive days. Okay? So let's do the math, right? Assuming this is proportional. So what does that mean? How do Chazal understand this sort of ultimate plague that you need to respond to? Right? What's the math? Percentages?
6% of the population.
Point 6%.
0.6%
every day for 3 days, meaning every 3 days you are losing potentially, 1.8% of your population. Is that right? Yeah, right. It's 1.8% of your population every 3 days. Right now, that, thank God, we have not reached. Right, 1.8% of the not of the sick population, of the population, right, dying. Right, so that would mean in America, right, you know, let's say about, you know, 6 million people, 6-7 million people, something like that, right? That's what we would be talking for Dever. I hope I'm getting my math right there. Okay. And then the Gemara notes there are other things. Al elu matrin b'chol makom, al shidafon, al yirakon, al arbech, hasil chayirav, acherev, matrin elimineshi ma'aka mehalechet. And there are certain things that right away you start blowing the shofar, going to extremes, and that is like, these dry winds that destroy all the produce, and locusts, and war, and things like that. Okay, so the Gemara clarifies. Tan Rabbanan, Ira Motia Chamesh Meot Al the Elef Ragli, Kagon Kfar Ako, Vyatsim and Utisha Matim Shloshim Zechazar, is a Dever. Biome Charubar by Yamim means a Dever. If it happened in 1 day, that's not Dever. Right? The nature of illness is not, right? If there's like 1 day a lot of people die, that's terrible, but that's not a sustained thing. And if people die slowly over the course of many days, so it's also not Dever, right? Dever is this very high percentage of death in a very quick period of time. Okay. Right, and the reason the Karen Ores says, if you look at 8, is about near the Hachatayim of Damrin and the Medrash, She'ein Sarah Moshelet Shal Shiyamim Shleimim. Because it's not normal that it's Sarah, that a distress, like, controls for 3 days. If it does already, right, that means you are in a particularly bad straits. So at the beginning of this, I heard a bunch of shiurim where people said, well, it's bad, but this isn't dever. This isn't dever. So you know, it's bad, but this is not what Chazar are talking about. But this isn't true. It's just not true. Because look at the... because if you just look... you know, if you look at the Gemara, and I gave you just the Rambam summary here. Look at the Rambam, right? If you look at Perek Bet of Hilchot Tanit, he says, "Elu heinat zarot shel tzibur shemitaninu matrien alein." These are the things that you blow the shofar from, etc. In Halacha Hey, he says, "Al hadever ezu yadever ir sheish b'chemesh met ragli v'yatsum en shloshem etim," etc. Okay. It's three people for every 500 every day for 3 days, and then the last line he says, "V'chein lefi cheshbon zeh," right? And according to this calculation, okay. And now he notes, and this is really interesting because you'll see that, right? The Rambam already intuits. I mean, he was a doctor; he understood this, and he's quoting the Gemara here. But he understands that, right? If I asked you, how do you know that something is particularly bad? Right? If you were listening to the news, when did we know that coronavirus was getting bad? Right? There were two things that they would look at. One was the general death count, obviously, but what was the other thing? Whether young, healthy people died. Right? And they would always distinguish someone died with who was elderly, had underlying conditions, and people who didn't. Because an illness which can kill healthy people is worse. So if you look at the Rambam, right, summarizing Chazal, Chazal understood that as well. And they said, Ve'ena nashim ha'ktanim v'zkenim, right? Women who in those times were less, I don't know, I guess they were less healthy. I don't know if just by nature or because they were nursing and undernourished. I'm not really sure. Haktanim, children v'zkenim, and elderly people. This is always true. Right, you have to judge it by healthy people, essentially, the healthiest people. If they're dying, that's definite. So you're right. If you stop there, you would say coronavirus hasn't hit that. But if you skipped halacha yud gimel, which is eight halachot later, so it's clear that the Rambam understands this is a different category. He says, ala cholim ketza. But what about sickness? Hareshi yarat choli echad anashim harbi botayir. If there's a lot of sick people in one city all at once, could go on askra or charchur b'chayotze behen, like diphtheria or something else. Vayumeitim ba'otar choli, and people are dying. Harizu tzaret tzibur v'gozun latanin u'matrin. So then you already start. So, right now the Kesem Mishnah notes, right, that sick people, right, they don't count with Vishen Chol Shoda Mezek. Now, what you see already, and this is what pretty much everyone seems to notice in the original poskim, is that there are two categories. There is something called dever, a plague, and then there's choli, which is a public illness. And what is the difference between these two, and what does that tell us about the situation we're in? So I gave you here Bovadia. Let me just get some key lines here. Okay, so he tells you that he thinks the source of that you need healthy people might be from some of the other cases where buildings falling down will only take into a... we'll get to that in a second, sorry. he says maybe he gets it from the building cases, where obviously buildings that are collapsing, that's not that's something to be expected, etc. So if you skip down, he notes, however, that he thinks that, first of all, he thinks that these limitations are not to tell you that, well, if less than 1.8% of your population is dying every 3 days, then you shouldn't care. Right? I mean, that's crazy. He said what it means is, you could say, sheyesh makom lidchot v'lomar, she'af sabrim she'gam ha'shlosh ha'meitim tzarech sh'lo yuzkenim, k'divrei Yerushalmi, hanimila l'gabei tanya tzibur. He said maybe the Gemara is saying you don't fast unless you fit very strict criteria. Because we don't like making people fast too much. But he says, for other purposes, like davening or other purposes, obviously you care, meaning maybe that's a very local halacha. Now, I will note, before we define choli, that it's not just that Chazal understood a bit about epidemics. If you look at this amazing passage in 13, you'll see that the Gemara says that Amar Rabbi Yehuda ika mutne bechazire gazer tanita. They told Rabbi Yehuda that animals started dying and he made a fast day. Why? Because he understood that, if you look at Tosvot, because he said, Peter shebenei meyav shel chazir domen l'mayam shel bnei adam. There are certain animals, apparently they thought pigs, and maybe it's true, that thought that diseases can jump from animals to people, which seems prescient under the circumstances, with this bat coronavirus, and therefore once he saw that animals were starting to get sick, he would already start the fast because he said this could become a human epidemic. Right? I mean, Chazal were quite, right, they quite understood what was going on here. Now, I'll note that there's a fascinating machloket here between Tosfos and the Ritva. Tosfos said that obviously, if non-Jews are sick, so then you start fasting, right? It doesn't matter, Jews, non-Jews, we're all going to get sick together. And if even when animals are sick, we start fasting because we realize that we're in danger, so for sure, it doesn't matter Jewish or not Jewish. The Ritva, though, suggests that maybe not, because he says it's maybe the reason you fast, and this might go back to the Machloket Rambam Ramban. Remember that we said the Machloket Rambam Ramban is the reason you daven b'shat tzara, is it because of the chiyuv tefila or a chiyuv tshuva? So if it's a chiyuv tefila, I would say, look, if there's danger, then you start davening no matter what. The second you see danger, whether it's because you see a disease in animals that might jump to people or amongst non-Jews, doesn't matter. You daven. But the Ritva says that maybe the reason that we fast is not because a form of tefillah, but because we recognize we're being judged by God. It's some sort of tshuva. And therefore, he suggests that if it's a form of tshuva, this is how I would put the spin on the Ritva, he doesn't say these words exactly, he says, "Aval goyim chelko reshut la'atzman." If only non-Jews were getting sick, obviously we're all people, but still, inyan gzeiratam chalukah la'atzman, v'trei dinei inun medanin. When you view this not from the vantage point of sickness, but from the vantage point of schar va'onesh, we are part of a different group. So there's this fascinating machlokes, right? What are we even talking about here? Tosfos just says, this is how you react to danger. And therefore, as soon as we sense danger, we daven, we fast. The Ritva says, no. Part of the reason you react this way is because you recognize that we have to react spiritually because of the belief that schar va'onesh exists. But if that's the case, so maybe, even though obviously when non-Jews are sick, we can daven and whatever, the full force of fasting and everything, that's a function of tshuva, and it could be that we can't do tshuva on their behalf. Which is an interesting sort of meta machloket about how you understand the perspectives on these issues. Okay. But what I want to focus on, and again, I know there's a lot of sources, so I'm going to sort of be skipping through them. is this issue that Chazal understood that there is a difference between a dever, right, a plague, and a choli. So what are these things? So if you look at the Beit Yosef, he says, I'll just give you the summary here in the Karen Ora. He says, V'katav Beit Yosef, Yesh ledaktik, lama lo chilek ve'lo chola em b'nei meitu shlosha b'shlosha yamim? Why by illness, this category of illness, don't you distinguish between whether, 0.6% is dying every day for 3 days? Zachar zel chamesh me'ar anashim, ve'asher deshayni deber shu shinui avir ha'meimit b'li shehi atzman b'choli. V'kol she'eino bo'otom enyan shemeitu shlosha b'shlosha yamim eino deber kavua ela krai ba'alma. Ve'eino asui leitakev, ein metanin ma she'engen b'chalayim ilu. So he introduces this notion that you see in several poskim, which is that dever was, they understood it's something that was caused by bad air. I don't know what that means, right? But as opposed to choli, what is choli? So the way the poskim seem to take it, and this is where I think Chazal really had a very good grasp on the situation, in a way that, I saw lost in a lot of the discussions. Choli is like this. If a lot of people are sick and some people are dying, so then you're already in epidemic land. You don't have to figure out how many people are dying per day. Why? because you understand that illness, right, once it's widespread and there are people dying from it, this is a tzara. And therefore, you don't start counting the percentages. What we're in, I think, is very clear in from what Allah is saying, is holy, right? There are millions of people sick, and there are hundreds of thousands of people dying around the world. So we know that people are sick, and we know that it's dangerous. What else do you need to call this a tzarat tzibur? Dever is very specific. Dever is where there's something that will pass, but it's having a very intense effect right now. So then, if it happens at a very high death rate for 3 days, we know that this is like an intense, short-lived tzara. We start davening. Choli is this recognition that there's sickness around. Like dever, when I think of dever, it could be more like, if you want to use his language of bed air, it would be helpful maybe to think about the deaths in the London, the Great Smog. You know about the Great Smog? Do you know about the Great Smog of 1952? Yes? Summer knows about it. Jamie knows about it. You don't know about it? Did anyone watch The Crown? Because there was an episode about it, which is how I learned about it, because Oro was watching The Crown. Okay, so basically, there's an episode about it. You can check it out. In 1952, there was a terrible, terrible smog. And what happened was that the pollution was so bad that there was like a fog that trapped in toxic gases being produced by houses and factories and trapped the people in this bubble of poison gas, essentially. And they couldn't see and they couldn't walk because it was so thick. There was like 1 foot visibility or something like that. It covered London for 5 days. And they estimate that 12,000 people died and 150,000 people were hospitalized in those 5 days because of the Great Smog. Right? So Dever sounds much more like the Great Smog of London, where there's something that is like very intense right now, and it happens for a few days, right? That's a disaster. So sure, this is not Dever, but there's this other category called Choli. And the way the poskim seem to describe it is that you need two things: a lot of people sick and some people dying. Not necessarily a lot of people dying. All you need is that there's enough people sick that you know this is widespread, and some people dying, so you know that this is severe. And if that doesn't describe the situation we're in, right, I don't know what does. Meaning millions of people are sick, and many of those people are dying, right? It's not Dever. It's not like some passing, you know, it's not the Great Smog of 1952. It's not like 5 days where 12,000 people will die, and then what happened as soon as the fog lifted? It stopped being toxic. Zeo, that was it. It's not like that. It's a much more prolonged danger that you respond to with tefillah and with tanit and the like. And you'll see that this is in Shulchan Aruch as well, where Dever appears in Siv Bet, Choli appears in Siv Hey, with none of the 3 days, 3 in 500 people restrictions. Okay. Now, so why is it, if, you know, we've established there is such a category, why is it that we don't see so many fasts or blowing the shofar and things like that? Why is that not how we react? So if you look, the Magen Avraham says, "Vani tamei, I just don't know." He said, "Look, maybe the fast days, the Gemara says, are only in Eretz Yisrael, but still, blowing a shofar or something." And the Magen Avraham says, well, maybe the reason you don't fast is, if I asked you, why do you think you don't fast? What do you think his answer is?
Stay healthy.
Yeah, very good. Because the Magen Avraham said, because now we know that for many people, fasting is the worst thing you can do during when people are sick. Right? The Dava it's minusahu sheino ocha v'shot that kolet shino yavir chas v'shalom. When there's sickness going around and you weaken your immune system by fasting, bad idea. So that's what he says. That's why we don't fast nowadays. And he notes that others, right? There's another halacha, which I don't think we'll get a chance to get to, but there's actually a halacha that during Dever, you're not supposed to sit Shiva, because people will think that anybody who died, right? Have you noticed in the last few months, if people die not coronavirus, they say he died not from coronavirus? Like they made a big deal, right? Rabbi Rabinovich passed away yesterday morning, which was tragic, and I was like heartbroken because he was like the most senior Talmud Chacham left in the religious Zionist world. Rav Yoni is going to talk about it with I'd have a guest share for him on with the Migdal guys on Sunday. He's going to talk about him. He was his Rebbe. But they made a point in the news. He died because he was 92, not because he got coronavirus. But why do you do that? So in Chazal, we actually go farther. We say you don't sit Shiva because people will assume they're dying because of the Dever and they'll start panicking, and panic is a bad thing. So we actually don't like make a big deal about everybody dying because they'll assume that everybody who's sick and everybody who's dying is because of the Dever, and they'll just panic more, which will make everything worse. I mean, Chazal were very worried about the situations that are created during these types of epidemics. And Halacha, basically all the poskim, seem to understand this, that Choli is different than Dever. Right, and that's what you see in the Magen Avraham. V'hu adin k'shab abuot parchot batinokot u'meitim. Right, he said, "What's abu abuot? Smallpox." Right, he says, when kids start getting smallpox, you don't wait for three people dying at every 500. You start praying then. Right, that's holy. Like they understood this. They've had this. And this was the slicha I said, and he says. And what should you do? It's so much, was this an experience that people live through all the time, that he said, we have a special slicha that you say on a, right for this. And the Mishnah Berurah writes this as well. And he clarifies, dafil eina meitim ena gozer in tainit. Once it's sickness, you don't wait for people to die. Right? Once people are sick and there's an epidemic, right, this is not Dever. This is not the great smog. This is sickness. And we know that sickness spirals out of control. So he says, as soon as you start seeing that people are sick, you daven. That is your response. And the Aruch HaShulchan says this as well, right? When you have Ababuo, right? Everyone's talking about smallpox, right? So my point being, right, that this is not new. People know how to experience it. And I want you just to see this tefillah. And it's called the Slicha L'Tachluim Yiladim Rachmana Litzlan, right? It is in your Siddur. It's in the Arab scroll. It's in the Koran. The Slicha for sick children, God forbid. And it says, Al Natashir Alinu Chatar Asher Noalnu Vasher Chatanu Chatanu Tzureinu Slach Lanu Yotzreinu. Right? We've sinned. El Na Refana Tachalue Gefen Beria. God, save them, right? Borrowing from Moshe's prayer for his sister, for the fruit of the vine. And then it goes on poetically about the people who are dying and doing tshuva. And as I said, right, there's even this special line that you say at the end, if it happens to be an epidemic around Tainet Esther, which, like I said, this year I said it because, if you remember, that was when everything started. It was right around Purim. And like I was convinced that Chazal said, when there is the beginning of illness and it starts to spread to the community, recognize you're in Sarah and your fundamental obligation is to start davening. And so much so, right? And the fact that it turned out around Tainet Esther, I felt like, and I, you know, I had the Migdal guys, we davened. This was part of our tefillah on Tainet Esther, because the last line is Tane l'korecha v'asket me'onim, right? Listen to those who call you. Listen from the heavens. Tishma shavat zoakecha. Listen to those who are crying to you. Shomea el yonim. Listen to the poor. Tirachem banecha kirachem aval banim. Listen to your children, like a father listens to his children. Anenu kisha anita lemordechai v'Esther v'talol eitz chamishim av im abanim. Listen to us like you listened to Moshe, to Mordechai and Esther. And you see, what I think you see is that And it's helpful, I think, for me to go through this sugya to realize that it's not dever, it's holy. But Chazal and all the poskim, right, until, when did the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishnah Berurah live, by the way? Both of them. Lived into the?
1900s.
Into the 1900s, right? I've mentioned this before, right? The Mishnah Berurah has an obituary in the New York Times. Right, we're not talking so long ago. He died in the 1930s. Right, both the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan are living into the 20th century. Until the 1930s, they're writing, and the reality that there are epidemics and children are going to be dying, and that we need, that one of our central reactions and the way we deal with it as a community is to daven as a community and to recognize that God is behind it. Plus, as we saw from the Gemara at the beginning, stay home, right? For us, this is like we're learning to deal with epidemic for the first time. For everybody in history, this was, until like, you know, the 20th century, this was just life, right? This was life. And therefore, they had a whole set of halachim and hagim to help us grapple with it and frame it in our life and come to terms with what's very painful, right? You know, I saw, the other thing I saw around Tainis Esther, I don't know if I mentioned it to you around then, was the Rama wrote a perish on Megillat Esther. And again, tell me if this sounds familiar. He says, why did I write a perish on Megillat Esther, of all things? Said, aha, because one year there was an epidemic of cholera around Purim, and I wasn't allowed out of my house, and no one could leave their house, and no one could celebrate Purim. So I was depressed. So what did I do? I was stuck at home, and the only thing that gave me solace was Torah. So I wrote a perish on Esther, right? Meaning, we're not the first people to have epidemics, to be dealing with it, to be stuck at home, to be missing things we don't want to miss, right? To be missed. And to need to find some way of grappling with it. But most of human history, humans had to deal with it all the time. And therefore, they had things to deal with it. We, thank God, rarely have to deal with it. So now, it's helpful for us to go back to these sources and say, like, look, Chazal recognized you should stay inside. Chazal recognized that disease jumped from animals to human beings. And you should be careful about that. They recognize that it's a tragedy once people are starting to get sick and there's some death, and that you should start panicking all over the place, and that you should find tefillah to try to frame it and recognize God's place in it. Like, this was part of humanity's experience forever, and we're starting to feel it for, thank God, the first time in most of our lives, right? You know, I doubt any of you remember at all the much less extreme, you know, reactions and the much lower death tolls, admittedly, for SARS or H1N1 the first time it started before it became part of our normal flu, and the like. I don't know if you even you don't remember this. There's no way you remember this. I remember this. I remember all of this. But you know. But again, that's only because my mother's an epidemiologist. So like my mother, you know, like, dealt with all of them. So she's like, yeah, I remember SARS. I worked on SARS. I worked on H1N1. I worked on this. I worked on all of them. I was there when AIDS was discovered, right? Like, I've been seeing epidemics for 40 years, right? Okay. Now, I put here an English blog post from Ramosha Lichtenstein, from Rabbi Ramosha Lichtenstein, who had years ago written an article why nowadays he thinks that even though one of the things that the Gemara says you should fast for is lack of rain, he thinks that you shouldn't nowadays. I won't read it all inside, but I'll just run through his arguments. He says, first of all, thank God, lack of rain is not nearly as dangerous now as it was in time of the Gemara. Meaning, when we talk about lack of rain, we don't mean, for the most part, that we're not going to have water to drink, right? We mean that, you know, we will not be able to garden and things like that, and we'll have to desalinate more water. And yeah, if it went on for years, it would be somewhat of an agricultural crisis. But again, we're not worried about starving, right? Maybe we'll have to import food. But the nature of the modern world is that it's just not as dangerous. The second point is that in the time of Chazal, rain was livelihood, right? Because most of the world was agricultural. So it was particularly, right, it was a water-based agricultural economy, which it's not. He also wonders whether nowadays we can take rain or lack of rain as direct a sign of divine providence, because in general we assume that hashkacha is not as intensely evident as it used to be. Okay. The fourth thing he said is that we don't feel it, right? Like during war, we feel in danger, and therefore we feel like we should daven, right? Davening is supposed to be a response that we feel naturally. Most of us, even when there's not water, the Kinneret is low. Like you, this is not true for you, but last year when we started the year, the Kinneret was like 12 centimeters or 18 centimeters from the black line, and everyone was freaking out. But like they were freaking out because it would cause ecological damage to the Kinneret. But no one no one really knows what that means or really internalizes it. He also noted that if we fast too much, it's not serious. And he thinks that, right, the chief rabbinate can't, we don't really follow it enough for them to be able to impose a fast. That was his argument. But at the beginning of this, as several people said, and Ramosha himself said this, that's not true. This experience is actually a time when we actually feel in danger. We all feel vulnerable, right? Or more vulnerable, right? We actually feel it. It actually affects our lives. People are scared for the first time, right? People actually listened and stayed home, which is why this is somewhat slowing down in Israel, because people are scared. And if you're actually scared, right, and there's actual danger, so then we go right back to Chazal, and that's why you'll see that this time people davened, and there were fasts called, even though it was Nisan, so we didn't have whole day fasts. But we had fasts, right? The chief rabbi had called a fast because suddenly we were feeling that anxiety that Jews had felt for thousands of years, which thank God the modern period had made us feel much less. And we looked to halacha to say, well, how do you respond? And the answer is come up with some way of reacting that captures your anxiety, recognizes that God has to be part of the equation. You have to turn to him, fast and daven, and the like. It's this interesting thing that we get to re-examine halachot and see that this was really part of people's experience. And suddenly we're feeling it again. Now, a lot of these issues are summarized in this lengthy analysis in the Divrei Malkiel. I left it there. I'm not going to go through it. What I want to do now is maybe just turn for the last 5 minutes to Rasha Weiss, to see some of the other piece of advice that Chazal gave us to deal with this. Because as I said, we forget, but this was such a part of human experience for so long. So what else does it tell us to do? So one thing we saw in addition to tefillah and to maybe fasting and tshuva is obviously stay home, right? Meaning that is something that's not just modern authorities telling us. That is Chazal. And he has this collection of Rav Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk, who said that in Tavkuf Memvav, so about 200 some odd years ago, they had a Magefa in Tveria, and he just says, what did we do? Sagarnu atzmanu b'chatzer chadasher shem yoter me'erach minyan k'dei l'tpalel b'tzibur. We locked ourselves in the chatzer with just a minyan, right, a little bit more than a minyan, which is, what we're doing now, right, small groups, and davened our heart out, right? V'kol asher mimenu ra'u, kach asu l'asher v'nei charon af, v'chatzer dem v'tzer dem, and everyone just, right, hid away in their homes. And no one else went out except the irresponsible people. And therefore we see that the minag, the practice always was, when there is plague, when there's epidemic, stay home. What else did they do? They would try to find ways of talking to people to avoid depression. But recognizing that you can't do that all the time, right? If that comes at the expense of it, then stay home. Let me skip down a little bit, not going in the roads. Right, he brings a lot. The Rashbash, the Kamenev, is if you try to bring Yutzar Echadam Lashvon Agadav Lachos B'mitzoh B'achalom Hashkehu Mashov Mishinato, when things are healthy, right, you eat a balanced meal, you sleep normally, etc. Uvikitzato, Barakarato, Baratso, Richatso, Abavir, Makifo, Vdunato, Milchato, Vdunan, Afshit. Avobimoda, Gage Fats, Richlizer, Tachlid, Shmirav, Josif, Managa, Lanakota, Mutarim, Sholar, But Mazon, right? And this is what everyone's saying, right? The Rashbash already said when there's an epidemic, what do you start doing? Try to not overeat, because we know, you know, obesity is one of those pre-existing conditions that makes people sicker. Make sure you eat healthy. Make sure you get enough sleep, because otherwise your immune system is weakened. Try not to be depressed, right? Keep yourself mentally healthy, right? Etc. Now, he notes that this is a bit of a chiddush, that's what that line means, but at any rate, it does point to a lot of the things you're supposed to do. Right? And then he quotes as well that in the Gemara in Ketubot Nun Zayin, that Rabbi Yochanan said, avoid flies, avoid bugs around sick people. And he said, this is something we know also, right? Like malaria and things like that pass from bugs. So avoid, right, dead bodies, avoid insects, right? He basically, what he notes is that a lot of the things that we say with obviously more sophistication because we understand it more, this was something that Jews and human beings had to experience almost, you know, regularly for many thousands of years. And suddenly we can get, can realize that, you know, we're lucky, we don't have to experience it all the time, but we find that therefore halacha responds in many of the ways that we actually did in this situation. Okay, I see I'm not going to have time for the last point here, so I'll just summarize a little bit of what he says in the rest. He says, you know, how dangerous do things have to be obligate you to take extra care. So he says, dever isn't a good case, right? Dever is just a very specific dever. But obviously, in general, the answer is when things get dangerous, you know, you should react. And then he studies this from different angles of different brachot that we have and the halachot of pikuach nefesh, and shows that when it comes to pikuach nefesh, right, you just, the answer is you got to be really, really careful. And his summary is, we should learn from this, is he said, you want a summary of what this looks like in the modern time? Listen to doctors and the Ministry of Health. If you have to be in quarantine, so then, so stay home. Stay in quarantine. When things are dangerous, be as careful as you can. And I think it's just helpful to look through this and realize that, like I said, we're lucky that we rarely have to deal with this, and hopefully we won't have to deal with it anymore, and it'll be done soon, though it's not done yet. But to realize that Chazal and Jews throughout history have had to deal with it, and they had. The basic rules were stay healthy, which meant stay at home if necessary, listen to the doctors. Right. That was already what people have always done. That's the basic halacha. And the second thing is, remember that it's not enough to just take care of yourself physically, but to recognize that whenever something's going on and you're in distress, you have to respond spiritually as well. And therefore, we have tefillot. And therefore, halachically speaking, the right thing to do is what Jews have always done. Do our best to stay healthy. And remember to daven on behalf of ourselves and those who are still sick. That's what halacha wants, to help us both stay safe and process what we're going through, not just, you know, psychologically, but with that spiritual element as well. So that's that. And I'll see you next week. Okay?
Thank you.